This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. He came to Cincinnati to take over the kitchen at the five-star Maisonette, planning to only stay for 5 years. 20 years later, he's still going strong. Chef Jean-Robert Descavelles will be here later to take your calls and talk about his love for Cincinnati. You'll also hear an update about Taking Root and its mission to plant 2 million trees in the greater Cincinnati tri-state area by 2020. Taking Root's Great Tree Summit 2014 is coming up January 25th, and Scott Buehrlein will be here to tell you about it. Right now, though, a short trip across the river to Covington to discover what's happening at the Carnegie. Feel free to chime in with a question or comment on Facebook or Twitter, by email, talk@wvxu.org, or on the phone at 513-419-7100. Joining me here in the studio are Joshua Steele, the Managing Director of Theater at the Carnegie, as well as the Carnegie's Deputy Director, Alicia Krall. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Hi there.
Thank you.
Glad to have you both here today. I wanted to begin by clarifying the name. I've been around here long enough. I knew it was the Carnegie Center for Performing and Visual Arts or something like that. But now you are just calling yourself the Carnegie, right?
Cut it short, the Carnegie. Or if you're from Pittsburgh, the Carnegie.
That's true. Well, and you hear that on the NPR credits, too. Everybody's saying, right. You're not saying Carnegie right. No, that's how Andrew actually pronounced his name. So, well, talk about the building, because it's called the Carnegie for a very good reason, because this is a former Carnegie library. Talk about the roots of the building, if you would.
Sure. Well, built originally in 1902 and was the public library for Covington. And then 2 years later, in 1904, the people of Covington were interested in having sort of a public meeting space. So they lobbied Carnegie for more money, and it was like $100,000 or something, in money in those times. But he gave them permission. Congratulations, go ahead, he said in a telegram, I believe, and sent the money. And in 1904, they built the beautiful theater, which is now known as the Otto M. Buttig Theater.
And this is, Alicia, if I'm not mistaken, this is one of the few existing Carnegie libraries that has that attached auditorium, right?
Yeah, I don't know that there's another one left in the nation. Ours is definitely the only one left in this region.
Well, the theater, I can remember, just because I've been around here for way too long, I remember going back probably in the early 1990s when efforts to renovate the theater were just beginning, and it's really come a long way since then.
Yeah, the theater renovations were finished in 2006. And so, we've been going strong for 7 or 8 years now, programming in the theater. And the gallery's been programmed for quite a long time, previously under Bill Seitz, and now our new director of exhibitions, Matt Distel, having a wonderful ongoing series of exhibitions featuring local artists and artists with local ties. So, things have been going on there for quite a while.
So at what point did it stop being a library and become the Carnegie we know today?
Early 70s, the Kenton County Library moved in up the street. So at that time, it became the Northern Kentucky Arts Council, and then over time morphed into the Carnegie, such as it is now.
Well, there have been many improvements. I mentioned that, when I was there before, the theater needed at least a good coat of paint, if not a little more than that. And you've also installed a new elevator as well, as I recall.
Yes, handicap accessible now.
Yes.
So it's easy to go around.
Well, a lot happens at the Carnegie. And are you finding, it seems to me, and this is just my perception as I watch what's going on and flying through the air here in the Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky area, that a lot more has been happening at the Carnegie. How has this rebirth been going, and have you been noticing more and more crowds showing up?
Yeah, absolutely. Audiences are growing every year. One of the major changes in the theater, we've introduced a theater series. So now we have an annual series of 4 major productions of plays and musicals that go on. We have a subscription base for that. We also have a small concert series that we do, presenting eclectic music, jazz, classical, ethnic music. So we're, sort of building constituency. As I mentioned before, the art galleries have been going for a long time. We have a large membership base of folks that come to all of our exhibitions, 6 or 7 a year, I think. So onwards and upwards all the time, definitely.
Well, Alicia, I'll turn it to you to ask about how the business footing is for the Carnegie. I mean, it's been very active. Is it sustaining itself in these trying times?
It is. Despite the economy of recent years, the Carnegie is strong and has been strong for the past 5 or 6 years under the direction of Katie Brass, our executive director. She has a very business-focused sense about running the organization. So not only are we a good member of the community, but we are on good financial standing, and we always appreciate our members, donors, and subscribers.
We sure do.
At the lifeblood that keeps us all going. Well, you have a couple of big events coming up. I remember when this, not the event we're going to talk about, but the event, I guess, that was the inspiration, the Art of Food, first came to Carnegie. Overwhelming success when you had all this great art and food together. And now it is the Art of Hair. You want to talk about the Art of Hair and,
sure.
and how it's working, Alicia?
Yeah, the Art of Hair is a fantastic event that you might think would happen in New York or LA, and it's happening right here in Covington, Kentucky this Sunday. We're going to have a runway show with 70 models with creative, artistic hair, and then that show will also repeat again at 3 o'clock. So you can come in, get a drink, some concessions, sit down and see a fantastic runway show, and then we'll do it all for you again at 3 o'clock.
Now, this grew out of the Art of Food, which was a way to raise support for the Carnegie, and all, and I know from... Well, both experience and reading about it, that it was an overwhelming success. The Art of Food was when it first happened. Talk about what happened at the Art of Food.
Yeah, we expected 300. We had 700 people show up. So we were just packed to the gills with people and food and chefs and all kinds of good things happening. And the same thing, it was actually very similar for the Art of Hair 2 years ago in January of 2012. Expected a couple of hundred, had several hundred. So we are ready this time for the crowds.
Have you been to the Art of Hair or the Art of Food at the Carnegie, or seen an exhibit there, a performance? Share your story, 513-419-7100, or email us, talk@wvxu.org. Well, how did the Art of Hair come? It doesn't seem like you go from food to hair very easily. What was the inspiration for the first Art of Hair and making that transition from the Art of Food?
We actually had a couple of stylists come to us, Lisa Herman and Jeffrey Van Slice. They are with Soto Salon and Chamber Salon. And they came to us and had this idea to have some kind of fantastic art exhibit with hair. So the first year in January 2012, it was an art exhibit with works inspired by hair, as well as the runway show. This year, we actually have an ongoing exhibit. We've got Ron Thomas and Northern Kentucky printmakers and a few other artists exhibiting in our galleries. And we'll also have this special one-day only Art of Hair with the two runway shows, like I said, at 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock.
Now, doors will open an hour ahead of time, so allow people to stroll through the Carnegie. But I think I was reading an article, I think it was in City Beat, that talked about your director, Katie, picking up bobby pins for a long time after. Wait, you roll your eyes at me there, Josh. Did you find a few, too,
well,
as you were doing?
I just remember in January, we had no idea what the response would be to this thing. So I walk in my office in the middle of the day, and I think there were like three models in there having their hair done in my office. So, needless to say, it occupies the whole facility.
Well, did I read somewhere where you have this ongoing, it's an ongoing exhibit versus having a special exhibit just for the runway show?
Correct. We actually have exhibits that opened in the middle of December, and they will run through the middle of February. For the Art of Food, we will have a special two-week exhibit that's kind of where all the artwork is inspired by the Art of Food. But for the Art of Hair, we have a few local artists in, and the Art of Hair is just a special one-day event, one time only.
Well, what else is happening in the theater? I know you have the Kentucky Symphony Orchestra coming for a lightly staged version of The Sound of Music, Josh, but what else is are you planning further on in the year?
Sure. So next up for us is actually a really cool presentation. We're in collaboration with Cincinnati World Cinema. We're screening the movie musical Cover Girl, which was Rita Hayworth, Gene Kelly, war-era film. And this is for Valentine's Day, February 13 and 14. So we're showing the film, but as a twist, when the songs come up, it's got this great score by Jerome Kern and Ira Gershwin. When the songs come up, we're going to actually turn down the volume on the film, and lights are going to come up on singers and a pianist. And we're actually going to perform those tunes live in sync with the film. So it's going to be a very ambitious kind of program. There's going to be a lovely dinner beforehand by Jeff Thomas. So kind of a unique night out for Valentine's coming up next.
As you're looking at the theater and what's happening in the theater, are you looking for something that is different than what's being offered anywhere else in Cincinnati, or what's your approach?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, we started off that way. You know, here in Cincinnati, especially for kind of a mid-sized town, I mean, boy, we have a lot going on in music, in theater, in visual arts. And so when we sat down, you know, early on after the theater renovation and thought, what can we do here? A couple things came to mind. First of all, you know, doing unique programming like these unique film presentations, but also doing collaborations. We're really big on bringing in partners, like you mentioned, with the Kentucky Symphony to create things that are sort of greater than the sum of its parts. So, you know, we could do The Sound of Music on our own and it would be great, but we could also bring in this professional orchestra and, you know, really lift this thing to new heights where neither organization is necessarily doing that in and of themselves. So, you know, partnering to, you know, find those new opportunities is really a major cornerstone of our work.
Talking about the Carnegie here on Cincinnati Edition, the Carnegie in Covington, the converted former Carnegie Library and auditorium that is now a great place to see great performing arts and visual arts as well. Taking your calls at 513-419-7100 on Cincinnati Edition. Meg is on the phone with a comment or a question. Good afternoon, Meg, and thanks for calling Cincinnati Edition.
Hi. First of all, I had a chance to come down to the Carnegie all the way from Montgomery in Ohio, but Xanadu was fabulous, and I was so impressed with the talent and the energy that the Carnegie performance brought to that. How do I think about other theaters that are in the area that are about the same size, and what are you trying to focus on the Carnegie where I should draw my attention to?
Oh, good question, Meg. Put Josh on the spot here.
Yeah,
he can handle
yeah.
it.
So I think a very similar theater to ours in terms of programming and in that Xanadu realm would be the Covedale over on the west side. They have a fabulous lineup of musicals and plays, somewhat similar to ours. I think where the Carnegie differentiates, you know, we're going to do some of the, you know, well-known pieces like Your Sound of Music in Chicago, but we're also going to try out shows like Xanadu. That was the first professional production of Xanadu in the area. This year we brought the play Boeing Boeing, which was an older play, but we premiered the Broadway revival version. So, you know, you're also going to see some new material that some of the other theaters aren't trying. And, you know, as we mentioned before, the collaborations. So, you know, I really don't think any of the other theaters in town you're going to see you know, major organizations like the Kentucky Symphony or CCM or Human Race Theater coming into our space to sort of create something organic.
And then what was your feelings about the theater itself there, Meg, when you went to the Carnegie and saw that theater?
It felt intimate yet professional. You know, the space is beautiful. Having the art exhibit attached to it just made for the experience even a more richer experience. So it was kind of an interesting feeling that I was at a community theater, but at a professional event, if that makes sense.
Yes,
it beautiful.
Does. Well, thanks for your call, Meg. Greatly appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that the Carnegie has done, really, is reach out to those partnerships. You want to expand upon that, Josh? Because that is really something that does set it apart.
Sure. So, you know, I mentioned some of our partners before, CCM, Northern Kentucky University. There are two aspects to this. First of all, as a younger organization, some of these, it allows us to sort of cross-cultivate audiences, right? So, you know, we do a production with Kentucky Symphony. Well, all of their subscribers are coming down to see our place. Not many of them have been there before, but some may have never been in the doors before. And as Meg was suggesting, we have a really cool space.
Yes, you do.
Very intimate. Acoustics are excellent. And we do try to create that sort of casual local environment while presenting a high-quality product on stage. So we're confident once we get people in the doors, they'll fall in love with us. And then from the artistic aspect or the sort of programming aspect, you know, Kentucky Symphony has a roster of wonderful professional musicians that play not only with them, but with the Cincinnati Symphony, with the Dayton Phil. You know, CCM is training, you know, what are really the world-class musical theater performers of tomorrow. So it gets us a chance to really grab these people, you know, without sort of taking them away from their regular endeavors. So it's a nice opportunity holistically for us.
And this is, the Carnegie's really more about just the performances or the art exhibits as well, because you're spreading some goodwill with your education outreach as well, right, Alicia?
Absolutely. We offer fantastic education programming on site, but also out in school districts with different organizations. This year we provided, or in 2013, we provided 50,000 contact hours of educational programming. We have a very strong partnership with Covington Independent Public Schools. We provide all of their music and visual arts education programming. And we were recently honored to be a part of a Kennedy Center program with Kenton County Schools. So, yeah, we have significant partnerships on the education side as well.
And what kind of education are you offering there? I mean, is this arts and crafts, or education about the art, or what are you focused on?
I think the best way to describe our education program is we use arts education as a tool, and we're teaching kids perseverance, problem solving, decision making, confidence, and we're using art to do that. So we'll teach visual arts, we'll teach dance, drama, music. So it's more art as a tool to teach those life skills.
You know, it's just a neat overall experience when you go to the Carnegie, because you tour the exhibit area before you see a performance. Meg was alluding to it, and I know my producer Pete has too, that it's a very nice small venue, very, very intimate. But it's just, you touched on it, it's a gorgeous building. I mean, they were really making them right when they made it back in 1902, right?
They sure were. And what's interesting, for those who have been to the Carnegie especially, when they first built that space, there were 750 chairs in there.
Really?
Yeah. You can't see me on the radio. I'm making small hands. They were about this big. And people didn't need their personal space back then. So, you know, we've got a couple of those chairs in our lobby, but now we're at a very comfortable 447. But still a very intimate room.
Yeah, very, very nice. And Alicia, what challenges does the Carnegie face? Because you are, you know, while you are in Covington, you're kind of on the outskirts of Covington. I had a long association with Covington Latin School, so, you know, I used to drive by the Carnegie on a regular basis and, you know where it is. But is location something that's been challenging for you, or do you find people find y'all okay?
I find location is sometimes an issue until they get there.
Yes.
As soon as people get there, realize how easy it is to find us, especially from the Cincinnati side or the Northern Kentucky side, how easy it is to park and how accessible our building is. Once you get there, you realize, oh, I can be here in 20 minutes from my house and see something great, whether it's art or an education program or a theater performance. So location can sometimes be a hurdle just to get people over. We have the same, you know, struggles as any other organization in town. Mm-hmm. We're all looking for support. We're all looking for patrons, you know. So there's just those normal everyday struggles, nothing special.
Well, I'll toss up this question to both of you. What are you looking most forward to in the future for the Carnegie, beyond the Art of Hair happening this weekend and the Sound of Music the next couple of weekends after that?
Well, this fiscal year, our fiscal year actually ends at the end of June. So this season, we are looking forward to the Art of Food on February 28th. Josh is opening Harvey the Play this April. We have Matt Distel's first exhibit. It'll be recognized. It's a portraiture exhibit that will be opening in April as well. So we have a lot of exciting things coming up, and we look forward to just growing our community partnerships within Covington. So that's where we look to expand.
You, Josh, what are you looking forward to? Beyond Harvey, of course.
Of course, yeah. Buy tickets.
Yes.
You know, this is an exciting time of year. This is the time when people start finalizing their seasons for next year. So the next couple months is really when I get to read a lot of plays and, you know, talk to potential partners. And, you know, we get that, you know, that excitement of planning something new. It's a little early to announce yet, but we do have some exciting plans in the docket, and you know, we'll roll out our first 2014-15 production in August.
Oh, wow. Well, I might have to have you back for that. I wanted to ask, you know, we've been talking about it from the spectators' standpoint, but what kind of feedback have you been getting about performers who come in there, whether it's the Kentucky Symphony Orchestra or the people who are singing along with the movie, or producing those plays?
You know, performers love to be on stage with talented performers. And, you know, one of the things we always strive very hard for is, you know, getting the very, very best performer possible for the role. And most of the time, the vast majority of the time, that's someone who lives here or lives in the region. Sometimes you're bringing in actors from out of town. So actually, there's an anecdote. One of my favorite actors and a friend of mine, very talented guy, and I've worked with him outside of the Carnegie, but we've brought him in for a couple smaller roles. And sort of the second or third time I hired him, I said, look, man, you are so talented. And, you know, I would love to give you a big role, but I have this small one you're going to be just perfect for. And he turns to me and he says, Josh, I don't care how big the role is. The opportunity to perform on stage with some of these folks you bring in is why I do it. And that was just so fulfilling to me, because that's sort of, it's rare when the things you aspire to as a producer, you know, come out that way and are shown on the faces of your actors and eventually the audience.
Wow. So things are good on both sides of the footlights.
I think so, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time today, especially with the Art of Hair coming up this weekend, because I know you were both probably quite busy, but thanks for being here today.
Thank you so
much. Our pleasure.
I've been speaking with Alicia Kroll, Deputy Director of the Carnegie in Covington, as well as Director of Theater Joshua Steele. The Art of Hair takes place on Sunday with a runway at 1 p.m., which repeats at 3 p.m., and the doors open an hour before each show. A hot ticket, so get yours soon. You'll find a link at WVXU.org. And you'll also find out more about The Sound of Music at the Carnegie, a lightly staged production with the musical featuring the Kentucky Symphony Orchestra. That takes place Fridays, January 17th and 26th.